So I'm going to read verses 36 to 38, chapter 3 of the 10th canto. Thus you spent 12,000 celestial years performing difficult activities of tapasya in consciousness of me, Krishna consciousness. So it's obvious that Krishna is speaking, right? Consciousness of me. Verses 37 and 38. So here's the translation. O sinless mother Devaki, after the expiry of 12,000 celestial years, in which you constantly contemplated me within the core of your heart with great faith, devotion, and austerity, I was very much satisfied with you. Since I am the best of all bestowers of benediction, I appeared in this same form as Krishna to ask you to take from me the benediction you desired. You then expressed your desire to have a son exactly like me. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. 12,000 celestial years, 12,000 years on the celestial planets is not a very long time for those who live in the upper planetary system, although it may be very long for those who live on this planet. Sutapa was the son of Brahma, and as we have already understood from Bhagavad Gita 8:17, one day of Brahma equals many millions of years according to our calculation. Sahasra yuga paryantam aharyad brahmano viduhu. We should be careful to understand that to get Krishna as one's son, one must undergo such great austerities. If we want to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become one of us in this material world, this requires great penance. But if we want to go back to Krishna, Chaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sojana, we need only understand him and love him. Through love only, we can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore declared prema pumartho mahan. Love of Godhead is the highest achievement for anyone. As we have explained, in worship of the Lord there are three stages: jnana, jnanamayi, and rati, or love. Sutapa and his wife Prishni inaugurated their devotional activities on the basis of full knowledge. Gradually they developed love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when this love was mature, the Lord appeared as Vishnu, although Devaki then requested him to assume the form of Krishna. To love the Supreme Personality of Godhead more, we want a form of the Lord like Krishna or Ram. We can engage in loving transactions with Krishna especially. In this age we are all fallen, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow upon us love of Godhead directly. This was appreciated by the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami said, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prima Pradayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gaura Tvase Namaha. In this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as Mahavidanya, the most munificent of charitable persons, because he gives Krishna so easily that one can attain Krishna simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We should therefore take advantage of the benediction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra we are cleansed of all dirty things, Chito Darpana Marjanam, we shall be able to understand very easily that Krishna is the only object of love, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangah Param Brajet. Therefore, one need not undergo severe austerities for many thousands of years. One need only learn how to love Krishna and be always engaged in his service. Sevan Mukhi Hijivadau Swayameva Spurachadaha. Then one can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. Instead of bringing the Lord here for some material purpose, to have a son or whatever else, if we go back home, back to Godhead, our real relationship with the Lord is revealed, and we eternally engage in our eternal relationship. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we gradually develop our eternal relationship with the Supreme Person, and thus attain the perfection called Swarup Siddhi. We should take advantage of this benediction and go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has therefore sung Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as an incarnation to deliver all fallen souls like us and directly bestow upon us love of Godhead. We must take advantage of this great benediction of the great personality of Godhead. Tadavam paritushtoham amunava pushanage tapasa shradaya nityam bhakchachari dipavitaha pradura samvaradarad yuvayo kamaditsaya vriyatam vara ityukte madrishovam vritasutaha. O sinless Mother Devaki, after the expiry of 12,000 celestial years, in which you constantly contemplated me within the core of your heart with great faith, devotion and austerity, I was very much satisfied with you. Since I am the best of all bestowers of benediction, I appeared in this same form as Krishna to ask you to take from me the benediction you desired. You then expressed your desire to have a son exactly like me. Om Agyana Timarandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistang Stapitam Yena Bhutale Zvayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vanchakalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sandhu Bhyebacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunichananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you all for turning up, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. I shall try my best to say something relevant. Interesting, this statement we see as part of the Mangalacharana, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam. When will Rupa Goswami give me shelter at his lotus feet? Swayam means himself. Swayam and Rupa means Rupa Goswami. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave another explanation to this. He said Swayam Rupa means Krishna. We know that Krishna is known as Swayam Rupa. He's the original form. So it can also mean, when will Krishna give me shelter at his lotus feet? It's very nice. I was reading it in the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So what is the overall impression I get from this purport? There's a discussion about love and its development. Now, there's a little bit of technical substance to this purport. Prabhupada says, as we have explained, in worship of the Lord there are three stages: jnana, jnanamayi, and rati, or love. Now, there's a verse 31 of this chapter has a purport where these three terms are also described. So this is what Prabhupada means when he says, we have explained. He's explaining it in the purport to 31. So jnana, he calls simple knowledge. Jnana mai means knowledge with love. And rati, now in the purport to 31, he says rati or prema, means pure love. So we see knowledge mixed with love and pure love. And Srila Prabhupada, he connects those three levels, or those three emotions, or those three states of consciousness with three levels of bhakti. And these levels are, it gets more technical here, Guni Bhuta, Pradhani Bhuta, and Kevala. So Guni Bhuta, I mean, the word Guni, as it indicates there's a material element there. Pradhani Bhuta means a predominance of love. Pradhan means predominance. And Kevala means exclusive love. Like we sing Sri Guru Charana Padma, Kevala Bhakti Sadma. We're going to the Guru for Kevala Bhakti, the purest love. So the connection here, well, the next sentence in today's purport is, Sutapa and his wife Prishni inaugurated their devotional activities on the basis of full knowledge. So full knowledge, I'm guessing, means simple knowledge, or means jnana, the first level. Then as Kashyapa and Aditi, because remember they took birth again as Kashyapa and Aditi, jnanamayi, more love developed. And then as Vasudeva and Devaki, Rati or pure. So there's a development of love. So here's a question. Are Vasudeva and Devaki sadhana siddha or nitya siddha? Anyone like to offer? Nitya siddha. Sadhana siddha. Good. I like it when we get a split opinion here. It appears, from what I've just said, that they are sadhana siddha because they're going from Prishni and Sutapa to Kashyapa and Aditi to Vasudeva and Devaki. But actually, you're correct. Nitya siddha. Now, I'll give you some evidence for this. And it comes in the Krishna Sandarbha. There's a description. Actually, Srila Jiva Goswami explains, it is not that Prishni became Devaki. It's actually that Devaki became Prishni. There's a difference. And it's a topic that's been very nicely explained by Shivaram Maharaj in his introduction to a book called Krishna Sangati, where he discusses how sometimes eternally liberated devotees, they appear to have a progression in sadhana in this world. But actually what's really happening is they, as Nitya Siddhas, eternal associates in the Aprakat Lila, in the unmanifest pastime, they expand. They can expand into Vaikuntha, they can expand into the heavenly planets, they can expand on this earth, and sometimes they personally come to this earth. That expansion may then go through several births, and that expansion may then enter into the eternal associate in the final birth. So Devaki is always there, Vasudeva is always there in the Aprakat Lila, in the unmanifest pastime, but then they expand as Prishni and Sutapa, and then as Aditi and Kashyapa. And then they enter into the body of Devaki and Vasudeva. So they're there, but actually Devaki and Vasudeva have never not existed. They were always there. So it just appears to be a progression of sadhana. And the same is true with Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. They're Drona and Dara, but we know they're Nitya Siddhas. You cannot become Krishna's father or Krishna's mother. And Prabhupada said, if you even desire that, that is Mayavad. It's like desiring to become Krishna. Prabhupada is very strict on this. In one lecture he said, you should not desire to become a gopi. This is Mayavad. Why? You should instead desire gopi bartu pada kamalayor dasa dasanudas. Become the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis is what Prabhupada said. But we know the verse means gopi bartu, means Krishna. So we have to be very careful. Never want to be a gopi. And we can consider the prayers of Lord Brahma and also the prayers of Uddhava. They both pray the same way. They desire to become a piece of vegetation, like shrub, herb, in Vrindavan or even on the outskirts of Vrindavan so they could take the dust of the gopis. So if you want to be a gopi, you're disqualified. But if you want to take the dust of the gopis on your head, you're in the right direction. So I'm going to read something a little bit technical. It's from the Krishna Sandarbha, and it will explain nicely, I hope, if I can get it to zoom in, what I've been explaining, but in a more elaborate way. An intricate sequence of events is hinted by the use of the phrase Tau Chapi, the two of them also. Now here's something very amazing. Before I finish reading this, when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we have this conception that Krishna is born as the son of Devaki, and then he's transferred to Vrindavan, and he's swapped with Yogamaya, the daughter of Yashoda. And then at some point we learn something extra, that actually Krishna was also born to Yashoda. And then the two Krishnas merged. So when Vasudeva took Vasudeva Krishna merged with Vrindavan Krishna, and then there's one Krishna missing. And then, of course, Mother Yashoda, she's so tired, she doesn't know what's going on. She actually gives birth to a daughter and a son, but she doesn't remember. So then she wakes up and she sees Krishna. So she doesn't know anything. Now, what I'm about to read is very interesting, and it's from the Krishna Sandarbha. We're going to hear about another Krishna. And this Krishna actually enters into the womb of Devaki. So here it is. In this passage from the Mahabharata, first of all, here's what it said. First, Vasudeva and Sankarshan, the Purusha incarnations, entered the wombs of Devaki and Rohini. So far, so good. That makes sense. Here's the amazing bit. Then Krishna and Balaram, the original forms of Vasudev and Sankarshan, entered the wombs of Devaki and Rohini also. So now we have two in the womb of each. Then within the womb of Devaki, Vasudev and Krishna joined to become a single Krishna. And within Rohini's womb, Sankarshan and Balaram joined to become a single Balaram. In this way, the word api also refers to the joining of Krishna Vasudev and Balaram Sankarshan. In other words, Lord Krishna sent his immediate Vishnu Tattva expansions into the material world before he personally came. And when he personally came, he and his Vishnu Tattva forms became united in a single form. That's interesting. So what's difficult to understand about the pastime? Now, it's easy to understand Yashoda. She's in Vrindavan. Brajendra Nandana Krishna, the original form, that's easy to understand. But for Devaki, it's a little bit more subtle, because for a start, she's in Mathura, she's outside of Vrindavan. And one purport, Prabhupada explains, she's almost on the Vrindavan platform. So almost means she's not on the Vrindavan platform. And we know in the dealings with Krishna, there's a difference. For example, after Krishna killed Kamsa, Vasudev and Devaki, they had maternal feelings, but at the same time, they knew this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They did not forget who Krishna was, so they were very respectful. Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj is very different. They're completely overwhelmed with Vatsalya Ras, and they don't consider Krishna to be God. So then we have a problem here. Who is taking birth from Devaki in Mathura? Is it the original Krishna, or is it an expansion of Krishna? Now consider this point. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavanam prichaja, padam ekam nagachati. He never takes a step out of Vrindavan. When he did appear, he has a four-armed form. It's a Vishnu form. When Vasudev took him to Vrindavan, it said that the Vasudev Krishna merged with Vrindavan Krishna. So it's all very clear, at least superficially, that we're not talking about the Swayamrup, the original form of Krishna. We're actually talking about an expansion. But no, this is where it gets very inconceivable. And I'll give you some evidence that this is actually not to be considered the case. Now, in today's verse, it's obviously not on the board, you can't read it. Today's verse, we have the words Amuna Vapusha. Now, here's where Jiva Goswami explains in the Krishna Sandarbha the importance of this. And interestingly, in verse 43 of this chapter, Prabhupada talks about this. He says, in other appearances, the Lord said, I took the form of an ordinary child just to become your son so that we could reciprocate eternal love. Jiva Goswami has explained this verse, now this is the verse of today's verse, in his Krishna Sandarbha, 96th chapter, where he notes that in text 37, the Lord says, Amuna Vapusha, meaning by this same form. In other words, the Lord told Devaki, this time I have appeared in my original form as Krishna. Notice original form. Srila Jiva Goswami says that other forms were partial expansions of the Lord's original form. But because of the intense love developed by Prishni and Sutapa, the Lord appeared from Devaki and Vasudev in his full opulence as Sri Krishna. Notice how it's not partial, it's full. In this verse, the Lord confirms, I am the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but I appear in full opulence as Sri Krishna. This is the purport of the words Tenaiva Vapusha. When the Lord mentioned the birth of Prishnigarbha, he did not say Tenaiva Vapusha, but he assured Devaki that in the third birth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, had appeared, not his partial expansion. See, it's saying it over and over again. And in the Krishna Sandarbha, it's said over and over again. So that's just something that I leave it as a mystery. Because on the one hand, we know that Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan. But there's absolutely no indication from the words of the Acharyas that this child is anything other than the full manifestation of Krishna. Let's go back to today's purport. I found it interesting that in the discussion, it's all about Krishna, there's one statement, To love the Supreme Personality of Godhead more, we want a form of the Lord like Krishna or Ram. Now, why is Lord Ram mentioned here in this purport? Because of Balaram. That could be, that's one of the answers I was thinking. Do you have any, is that your consideration, or you have any commentary that you've read that? You've read it. Good. Thank you. Balaram and Ram. Now, I was going to offer something slightly different angle on that, but I was thinking this way as well. And here's what it is. In the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, there's a description of the avatars of the Lord. And in particular, three avatars are mentioned that have more qualities than the other ones. Does anyone know the three special ones? They all have a special place in our program. Yeah. And Krishna, of course. Now, where's Lord Chaitanya? Well, Lord Chaitanya's there as Krishna. I'm wondering, where is Balaram? Well, wherever Krishna's there, there's Balaram. So I take it that that's what it means, that these manifestations are already there. They're already implicit by the term Krishna. Yeah, so it said, Rasinga Rama Krishneshu Sadgunyam Paripuritam. That these three incarnations, Nrsingadev, Lord Rama, and Lord Krishna, they have extra qualities. Sadgunyam Paripuritam. Now, that refers to the opulences. Sadgunya refers to the Sad Aishvarya, the six opulences. Aishvaryasya Samagrasya, Viryasya Yashashasriya, Jnana Vairagyor Chaiva, Sad Vidam, was it? Sanam Bhagam Itingana. That the Lord has all wealth, all strength, all fame, all knowledge, all renunciation, and on all, what's the last one? Beauty? All beauty. Beauty is the central one. So we should understand that although there are an infinite number of incarnations, says in the first canto, Avatara Yashankhya, Harayar Satvanir Deer Dvija, that there are an unlimited number of avatars. But three of them are given special importance, Lord Ram, Lord Narsingha, and Lord Krishna. Now, if you notice in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Yamenatishtan, an avatara akarod bhuvaneshu kintu, Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramam Pumanyo, Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This verse says that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He's the original of all the infinite incarnations. That's the point of the verse. But notice two things here. How are all the other avatars described? They're described by the phrase Ram Adi. Means Ram, etc. We're going to give a list of infinite number of incarnations, but we're going to mention Ram because he's special. And the translation is even more interesting because the word Nrsingha appears in the translation in incarnations like Lord Ram and Lord Nrsingha. So you may wonder, why does Lord Nrsingha be mentioned? Well, Lagu Bhagavatamrita says three incarnations are very special: Lord Nrsingha, Lord Ram, and Lord Krishna. And it's in ascending order, more and more qualities. So that's what I was thinking on these lines. It's interesting how we were discussing how the love developed. So the love develops to the point where Prishni and Sutapa, they then get to experience the original form of Krishna. And that naturally takes us on to Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada merges, he combines the two ideas. And actually, you notice how time and time again in this purport, he's recommending us not to perform austerities like Prishni and Sutapa. And he's actually saying it's very easy to go back to Godhead. And he says it several times, which I find is kind of funny. We know how difficult it is to attain the platform of pure love. But for Prabhupada, he's saying it's very easy. You don't have to perform austerities like Prishni and Sutapa. So there's an interesting statement from the Narad Pancharatra. Aradito yadiharesh tapasatatakim, naradito yadiharesh tapasatatakim, antar bahir yadiharesh tapasatatakim, nantar bahir yadiharesh tapasatatakim. It's a very nice verse. It means, if one is worshipping the Lord, what is the need of performing austerity? If one is not worshipping the Lord, what is the need of performing austerity? In other words, your austerity is worthless if you're not worshipping the Lord. If you see the Lord internally and externally, Just as I mention it, just as we see the Lord, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shishi Siddha Ram Lakshman Hanumana Ki Jai, Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. So the next part of this verse, if one sees the Lord internally and externally, what is the need for performing austerity? In other words, austerities are useless because you've already attained the goal. And Nantar Bahir Yadi Harish Tabasadatakim. If you're not seeing the Lord internally and externally, then why even bother with your austerity? It's of no use. In other words, austerity is external. Rahuganaitat tapasa nayati na chechana nirvapanad grihadvad na chandasa naiva jalagni suryar binamahatpada rajo bishekam. So Jadbharat, he says to Rahugana, you cannot attain the absolute by tapas, by austerity, by chandas, by study of the Vedas, grihad, by being a perfect householder, nirvapana, by being a sannyas or a renunciant, not by sitting in the sun in the middle of summer performing austerities, not by submersing yourself in cold water in the middle of winter. People in India are very extreme. They do extreme things. When it's cold, they make themselves colder. It's part of their austerity. And when it's hot, they make themselves very, very hot by surrounding themselves by fire. Prabhupada once said, why is the climate of Vrindavan so harsh? To get rid of all the ascetics who have got no bhakti. They find that even the heat of Vrindavan in summer is too much for them. So clear them away. But those who have bhakti, they can tolerate that heat. Well, some people can. There's a few dedicated kirtaniers who do the 24-hour kirtan in the hot sun in Vrindavan. And that's very austere. I was once speaking to Gopal Prabhu. And he used to describe how after a session, they go up into the room and they just crash out and fall asleep. Now, the problem here is, it's actually very bad for your kidneys. Now, they wouldn't drink much water while they were playing because it would just straight away come out. So they'd be covered in sweat and pools of sweat on the ground. So they wouldn't drink much, which is bad for your kidneys. So the first thing you must do is rehydrate after something like that. But sometimes they were so tired, they didn't even do that. They just got to the room and crashed out. Then after they woke up with a dry mouth, they would slake their thirst. So he told me he had some trouble with his kidneys. So it's not recommended. Anyway, so austerity, absolutely useless. Now, if you do austerity in Krishna consciousness, that's different. And if you notice, Sutapam Prishnagarbha, their austerity for 12,000 years was meditating on Krishna at the same time. Therefore, it was dovetailed. We dovetail our austerity, that's good. If we go out in Sankirtan, that can be very austere. If we do it in winter, it's even more austere. But that type of austerity is very good because it's dovetailed. So, as I was explaining, the love developed, and then we get a description of Lord Chaitanya. And he is described here as Maha Adanya, the great avatar, the most munificent. Why? Krishna Prema Pradayati, because he gives Krishna Prem. Now, I want to talk about a question. Who can give Prema? Now, I'll tell you why I'm bringing this up. It's a difficult question to answer, because I've studied it. The reason I studied it was that about 5 years ago, one Prabhupada disciple was sitting here. He's quite a senior devotee. He's an author. He's written several translations. He's fluent in Bengali. Anyway, he said something which upset the audience. What he said was, devotees can't give prema. He said, only Krishna can give prema. And there was a discussion. And I was there, and I offered my explanation. I said, well, it says here, prema bhakti jaha hoiti avajav anashayati. The guru gives prema. It's written there. And he destroys ignorance. Or we have Jianilo Prema Dana. When we sing to departed Vaishnavas, we say, he who gave prema. We have the example of Govinda Maharaj would often say, unless the guru has prema, how can the guru give you prema? So we were discussing, and as a result, it upset people, and he was told he wasn't going to give class again. But after that, now here's an interesting thing. One of the good things about going to classes is topics come up, and it kind of, you get thinking about it, and then it becomes like a radar. Like, I have a lot of questions that a lot of debates have come up, and it becomes like a radar. So whenever, after you've been in the discussion, you're looking out for things that might answer this. So ever since that day, every time I've seen anything talking about prema and who's giving prema, my radar's there. I'm like, oh, let's see what it says here. So since then, I've discovered a lot of evidence that actually supports what this devotee was saying. So I'm thinking to myself, maybe we shouldn't have been so harsh on this devotee. Now, I'll give you some examples. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said there are three causes of bhava. Bhava means preliminary love of God. Three causes. But for prema, there are two causes. So the three causes of bhava are sadhana, which is the most normal process to get preliminary love of God, mercy of a devotee, and mercy of Krishna. But for prema, there's only two, sadhana and the mercy of Krishna. The devotee's not there. The mercy of the devotee is not considered a cause of prema. It's interesting. Also, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a statement, Krishna eka premadatta shastra praman. According to the shastras, there is only one giver of prema, and that is Krishna. So here, if Krishna wants to give prema, he comes as himself. Krishna prema pradayati, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna prema prada, because he is Krishna himself. Therefore, he can give prema. Therefore, I think there's an ambiguity here. What exactly is going on here, I don't know, but I will offer my understanding based on something that's found in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. There's a section about prema, and then it describes how the devotee can give you bhav by mercy, and then from the platform of bhav, through your bhav sadhana, your prema will awaken. So it sounds like the devotee is giving prema, but not directly, he's giving you bhav, and that bhav develops into prema. Now in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the discussion of prema, there's a nice verse, Yaichi Bicha Ikshu Rasa Guda Kandasar Sarkarasita Machari Uttama Machari R. Here prema is described metaphorically as the first stage is the bij, the seed of the sugar cane, then the stem, which is Iksha, then Guda Rasa, the sugar juice, Guda, meaning the molasses, Kandasar is dry molasses, then it goes on to sugar, candy, rock candy, and finally lozenges. The last one is Uttama Machari. So you can condense the sugar, and ultimately you end up with lozenges. Now, what's interesting is there's nine stages here. But in the same section, when it's discussing prema, there's only seven stages given. And that's prema vridi krami nam sneha mana pranaya raga anuraga bhav mahabhava hoya. The stages are sneha, which means affection, mana is when you get grumpy, get angry, it's a loving anger, it's very relishable. We get a perverted reflection of this in the material world, as the grihasthas will know. Mana pranaya, that's like when you merge. The love is so intense, you feel like you're one. Then raga, ecstasy, anuraga, increasing ecstasy. Bhava, even more. Actually, raga and anuraga are like got other names. I can't remember exactly how they're described. But anyway, mahabhav means the final level of prema. So seven, but then when the analogy is given, there's nine. Now, if you look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you can get an answer to this. There are actually nine stages of prema. The first one is Rati or Bhav, which means preliminary love of God. That's stage one prema. And stage two is prema itself. Then sneha, mana, pranaya, and so on. So notice here how bhava, preliminary love of God, is stage one prema. Therefore, if we say a devotee gives prema, maybe we just mean stage one prema. It's a possibility. Anyway, I'll leave you to think about it. And that's very esoteric. So I'm going to finish with something more down to earth. Srila Prabhupada says, he brings it down to earth. For practically speaking for us, what does this purport mean? Well, we're talking about levels of love. But the practical advice is given here. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can attain this love of God. So our duty is to not spend our time talking about all these things which I've just done. I'm guilty, sorry. But what to do, it's the 10th canto, and that's what Prabhupada's writing about. So, but our duty is we simply chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada says, by doing this, we will attain the perfection called Swarup Siddhi, which is another elevated topic. And we could talk about Siddha Pranali, but we're not going to. Hare Krishna. So we stop there. We've got 5 minutes left. I hope you have some questions or comments.